Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. This program is part of World War One on the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.
The confessions of the criminal perpetrators of the outrage of the 28th of June show that the Sarajevo assassinations were planned in Belgrade.
The 23rd of July, the day of Austria-Hungary's ultimatum to Serbia, is finally here.
The results of this investigation impose on the Austro-Hungarian government the duty of putting an end to the intrigues which form a perpetual menace to the tranquility of the monarchy.
Over the last weeks, the Austrian Foreign Office has worked on the demands so that they seem reasonable, but are in fact almost impossible for a sovereign nation to accept. If it means war, so be it. Serbia's protector Russia knows something is coming. The Russian ambassador asked for an urgent meeting with the Austrian foreign minister. He's told to come back tomorrow. By then it will be too late. In Belgrade, at 6 p.m. sharp, the Austrian ambassador, Vladimir Gisel, arrives at the Serbian foreign ministry. The prime minister, Nikola Pašić, is out of town, perhaps deliberately. He's left his finance minister, Lazar Paču, in his place. The minister flounders. He doesn't even speak French, the language of diplomacy. Eventually, someone is found to interpret.
The term for an answer has been fixed for Saturday at 6 p.m. If by that time I have received no answer or an unsatisfactory one, we will leave Belgrade.
At first, Paču declines to accept the note.
Elections are being carried on, and some of the ministers are absent from Belgrade. It will be physically impossible to assemble a complete council of ministers.
Gisel sees that the Serbian minister is trying to play for time.
In our age of railways, telegraphs and telephones and the size of the country, it can be only a question of a few hours to assemble the ministers.
Still, Paču refuses to accept the ultimatum. After a long pause, Gisel leaves it on the table.
You can do with it what you like.
He turns and leaves. The ultimatum has now been delivered. At that moment, in St. Petersburg, the French are entertaining their Russian hosts on the deck of their warship. It's the last day of the French president's state visit. Their ambassador describes the scene.
It had a kind of terrifying grandeur, with the four gigantic guns raising their huge muzzles above the heads of the guests. Conversation between the Tsar and the President never ceased. In the distance, the Grand Duchess Anastasia raised her champagne glass towards me more than once, indicating, with a sweep of her arm, the instruments of war all about us.
Just after the French warship leaves the harbor, news of the Austrian ultimatum reaches St. Petersburg. France and Russia will not be able to coordinate a response right away. As far as Austria-Hungary is concerned, things seem to be going to plan.
Explore World War One on the BBC through our in-depth, interactive online content. Curated by experts and reporters including Ian McMillan, Kate Adie and Frank Gardner, each guide blends documentary, discussion and short films to take you through some of the key issues, from life in the trenches to poetry, propaganda and the role of women. To discover compelling new perspectives on the war that changed everything, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.